Just a couple of things I want to remind you of. First of all, right after the service, we're going to have a reception for those who are baptized this morning. We have cake and punch, and we really need you to come and take a piece, even if you don't eat it, because I don't need to eat it, and that's always a temptation. So right after the service in the commons area, we'll have that, and I hope that you'll join us for that. Now, I'm going to be talking for 2 weeks about a thing called the wheel. And I have one right here, a metal one. And today I will begin it. I will finish it next week. And it's a different kind of message. And it's just needed. It really went along with the baptisms. It's about how to have a Christian life that is going somewhere. So this Sunday and next Sunday, we'll talk about the wheel. Also, the Sunday after that is Palm Sunday, and I will be talking about Jesus coming into the temple area riding a what? Donkey. We'll talk about why a donkey. And then on Easter, it's hard to believe, Easter is early this year, March 31st, we're going to talk about the X Factor. People talk about the X Factor all the time in sports and in business. And we're going to talk about what is the X Factor for the believers in the church today. So we'll have that. And then the next Sunday after that's when we start the book of John. And I don't know how long that will take. But this morning we're going to talk about the wheel. You might say, Bill, why are you talking about a wheel? It's in superimposed or whatever you want to call that on the back of your bulletin. I want to tell you that the wheel changed my life. Now, Jesus changed my life. But I became a Christian in the fourth grade and went to church. But when I got to junior high and high school, I struggled. I didn't understand. I knew I wanted to go to heaven, but I didn't understand what it meant to live for Christ. And so, therefore, I got off track and I got involved in things I shouldn't have done. I made choices I shouldn't have made. And then I got my act together in college. God called me back and said, Bill, time to start over again. You ever been there before in your Christian life? You screwed up. You got to start over. Well, anyway, I was at Baylor University, and I wanted to grow. And I came into contact with this ministry called the Navigators. And a guy named Dawson Trotman had designed this. And I'm very visual. I have ADD. I have trouble paying attention. And I knew you were supposed to go to church and be a Christian. All I heard growing up is you didn't want to go to hell. You wanted to go to heaven. But I didn't really know how to live for him. And so when I got to Baylor University, I came into contact with the wheel, and it's kind of been the thing that keeps me balanced in my walk with Christ, because it tells me how to be going somewhere. I just want to say, if your idea of church is just showing up on a Sunday and hoping you go to heaven someday, man, you've missed it. The thing that is so incredibly exciting to me about my Christian life is that it is new. It is different every single day. And so what I want to share with you is the wheel and how it can make a difference in your life. When I was in Colorado a couple weeks ago, I went to the ministry where this started, and I bought a big old wheel. And in the visitor area, when you join the church or talk to me, I'm over here, there's a big wheel on the wall. And it's to remind me and it's to remind you of what is important. So that's what we're going to do. If you'll turn your bulletin over, I want to talk to you this morning about the wheel. So what is the most important part of a wheel? Some would say it's the hub, the middle, the wheel base or the hub that is there. And I'm going to say in the Christian life, the most important part of your Christian life is not your denomination. It's not where you go to church. The most important part of your Christian life is Jesus. If Jesus Christ isn't in the center of your life, you're missing it. I mean, it ought to be the defining thing in your life, and then church and all the other good stuff should come after that. But if you don't have in the center of your life Jesus Christ, then you're not going to have a very good experience with the Christian life. So, what are some scriptures? Well, I love this scripture here. It's Romans 10, 9 and 10. And Paul wrote this, and he said, if you openly declare Jesus is Lord. Now, we want these teenagers to know, we want adults to know that when you become a Christian, what you are saying is you want Jesus to be the Lord of your life. He's to be the master. He's to be the boss. He's to be the one that calls the shots. And Paul said, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. See, the Christian life is all about Jesus. If you believe that he died for you, if he paid the penalty for your sins, if you believe he loved you so much that he was willing to suffer and take your place, if you believe that he is the answer to all your problems, then you will be saved. The church can't do that. You can't earn that. The only way to be saved is to believe 100% in Jesus Christ, that he died for you and he came back to life for you. And then he says, for it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. There are a lot of people think they have to earn their way into heaven. You can't earn your way into heaven. You have to believe in him that he is the reason you're getting to go. So Paul says that you believe in your heart, and then you are made right with God. And then he says, and it is openly declaring your faith that you are saved. See, when these adults are baptized, one of the things they're doing is they're declaring their faith and allegiance to Jesus Christ. In some parts of the world, your baptism is your death sentence. They won't bother you if you say you're a Christian, but once you're immersed, once you believe like that and openly declare it, you become a target. But the center of your life, your Christian life, has to be that belief that Jesus is Lord. Now, I don't know about you. When I was growing up, I heard them talk about everything, wanting to go to heaven, have your sins forgiven, believe all that. But I didn't hear a lot of people saying that when you become a Christian, that means he becomes your boss. But that's what it means. Salvation is a belief in him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 was a verse in the Bible, second verse I memorized after John 3:16. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is an awesome verse. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Now, I learned that in college. I memorized that verse in college, and it dawned on me one day that being a Christian means a change of the way I live. Now, when I was a kid, I heard people say, you want to go to heaven? You want God to forgive your sins? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to get that ticket to heaven. But I didn't hear a lot of people saying that if you believe in him, it ought to change you. And I love 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, a new being, and the old way of living goes to the wayside. And then he says, and then there's the new. Listen, is there anything different in your life since you believed in him? Is there anything good that has started to happen in your life? When Jesus is the hub, life begins to change. And then another scripture, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer, now get this, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means that Bill Ashburn, his way of living, his decision making dies and he starts to surrender and let Jesus live through him. You see, Jesus wants to live through my personality. Now, my personality needs a lot of help. But he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. You know how that happens? You have to surrender and say, I'm done. I can't do it anymore, Jesus. I surrender my life. I surrender my talents. I surrender everything to you. When you do that, you start to change. You'll never change if you don't surrender. If you don't say, I give up. Listen, the hardest thing to do is to try to live the Christian life in your own strength and in your own ability. It's just very difficult, if not impossible. So, we need to understand that Christ wants to be the center of our lives. Once you get that, you can build on it. So let's talk about the first spoke. You got the hub. It's Jesus. The first spoke is how you relate to God. It's how God talks to you and how God deals with you. So the word is a vertical spoke. Now, what is the word? The Bible. Scripture. Today it's so hard, these teenagers know. It's so hard because in my day, you brought your Bible. And I could see a Bible. And I could watch you open a Bible. Today, you can bring your iPad. You can bring your phone. Now, all these teenagers promised me. I've got my Bible app going. And I'm thinking, yeah, and you're clicking on Facebook a little bit here and there to check and see what's going on in the world around you. But here's the thing I want you to understand that is so important. Scripture is the most important spoke for knowing what God wants you to do with your life. People tell me all the time, I can't read the Bible, I can't understand the Bible, I don't have time for the Bible. Then you do not have time to change for the better. Excuses are excuses, but I can't think of anything more important than allowing God to speak to you. Now, God uses His Word to speak directly to you. I believe that He tells you how to treat people. I believe He tells you how to live, what to do with your time and your talent. And I will tell you this, if you don't read your Bible, you're not going to grow spiritually. And it's just as important for teenagers and adults and senior adults. Scripture is how God speaks to you. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, all Scripture is inspired by God. The NIV says it this way, all Scripture is God-breathed. In other words, Scripture is God's breath. It's God's words to you. He says, all Scripture is God-breathed, and here's what it's for. You say, what's the Bible for? It's boring. No, it isn't either. He says, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful to teach us what is true. You want to know what truth is? Turn your TV off. Most time it's lying to you. Just like politicians. You want to know truth? Open Scripture. You want to know what God's like? Open Scripture. Read the story from the beginning to the end. All Scripture is useful to teach us what is true. These teenagers need to know what is true. Children need to know what is true. And the place that you find it is in Scripture. So it teaches us what is true. And here's the other thing. It makes us realize what is wrong in our lives. Now listen, when the Scripture is taught, it convicts us. And it gives us guidance about what we should not, it teaches us what we should do, but it also teaches us what not to do. Scripture teaches the truth, it teaches us what is wrong, it corrects us when we're wrong, and teaches us to do what is right. You see, the Scripture tells you how to live. If you have a problem with someone, you go to Scripture. It's going to tell you how to fix it. Scripture is how you live. Paul said it corrects us what we're wrong, and it teaches us what to do that is right. And then it says this, God uses it, Scripture, to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Listen, every morning between 6 and 6:30, I meet with God and I let Him talk to me. Sometimes I get a spanking. Sometimes I get a word of encouragement. But He always talks to me. Scripture is how God speaks. Joshua 1:8 says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be able to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. You want to be successful? Get the Word of God in you. Allow it to get deep inside. So that first spoke is Scripture. It's the Word of God. Now, I'm just about done, so just be patient. How do you get Scripture into your life? Let me give you a little illustration. It's called the hand illustration. The weakest finger on your hand is your little pinky, right? Let's just call it hearing the Word. You're doing that right now. You're hearing the Word of God taught. Now, the depressing thing for me about that is that you will only remember 5% of what you hear. That's not very much. And we need to understand that hearing the Word is the way the early church learned. Listen to what it says in Romans 10:17. He says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. Here's what that means. In the early church, they didn't have a Bible like you and I have. They had Old Testament, but the New Testament was being written. So the way that they learned was by listening to the apostles and the teachers speak God's Word. They would tell stories about Jesus. And what Paul is saying in that Romans 10:17 is that one of the ways you learn is by hearing. But it's the lowest level. You will forget most of what I said by tomorrow. So how do you grab more than 5%? How do you learn more? Because I listen to podcasts. I listen to all kinds of things on my phone. I hear sermons. But how do you get it into your life? Well, I have this thing called a blessing catcher. It's my journal. And how many of you have ADD? Anybody besides me? I mean, when I sit there, it's hard for me to pay attention. I'm trying to figure out the person in front of me. I can remember even as a kid staring at their head, counting the hairs on their head. I mean, it's just people. Part of the reason God called me to preach is because I can't do what you're doing right now. No, I'm joking. He called me to preach. But I mean, it's hard. So one of the things I do is I take notes. I put notes on the back of every bulletin because I feel sorry for people like me who need something to focus on. But one of the ways, I call them blessing catchers, is when someone's speaking and they say something that applies to me, I write out what I need to do. But I do know that if I just listen, more than likely I'm not going to remember it by tomorrow. Now, if I listen and take notes, I greatly increase the opportunity. So you hear the Word of God. And I hope you do that. I hope you listen. I hope you have people you follow, podcasts. But here's the second thing. The second thing is you read the Word of God. We have up here, out there, and I think even at the back, reading plans. If you want to read through the New Testament in a year, pick up one of those plans. You only have to read 5 out of 7 days. You get 2 days off. Also, what that means is if you miss 2 days, you can catch up on your 2 off days. But if you will take that plan and go home and read a chapter a day, you'll read through the New Testament in 1 year. If you will read God's Word and start to obey it, it changes the way you live. It's the game changer. Listen, I accepted Christ when I was in the fourth grade, but I really didn't start obeying Him until I was in college. I thought that the whole goal of going to church and listening to the guy was to be able to check it off I've done it list. I read my Bible because I wanted to check it off the offering card that said, read your Bible. I never dreamed that God wanted to speak to me, which He does. And see, God's Word is meant to be read. Every morning I get along with Him and read His Word. Listen to what Revelation 1:3 says. God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church. And He blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says, for the time is near. Let me tell you, everybody's talking about the end of time. Every day you live, you're one day closer to the end of time. So quit worrying about it and start reading your Bible. Okay, everybody's, oh, He may come. He's coming back. He ain't come today. So what do? You read His Word so you're blessed by it. You ask God to speak to you. I have a time every morning where I just read it and I let Him speak and then I write down what I need to do. You see, this is a game changer. When you start to read the Bible for yourself, you're going to retain it more. Some say you retain about 15% when you read it, 5% when you hear. So if all you do is hear a preacher on Sunday, my goodness, you don't have very much memory for the week when it comes to living for Him. Read the Word of God. The next one is to study the Word of God. And the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. And they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the Scripture day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. When you study Scripture, it deepens your convictions. It helps you know the Scriptures better. Now, I'm going to show. Teenagers, look up here. I've been teaching them on Mark, okay? Mark chapter, we started in Mark chapter 1. I think we're in chapter 8 now. And one of the things I've tried to do, we quiz them every week. Because I don't want them just to hear it, I want them to know it. Okay, teenagers, help me out. I don't have candy though. All right, here's the question. We're reading through Mark. We read the feeding of the 5,000. It was a meal given to the Jews. How many baskets were left over when they were through? Raise your hand if you know. Georgia? 12. Okay. One chapter later, the feeding of the 4,000, which was not to the Jews. I see your hand, Caden. I'll get you. It was not to the Jews. It was to the Gentiles. How many baskets of food were left over, Caden, at the end? No. Kiara? Seven. These kids may... Okay, I got another one. All right, you paying attention, teenagers? The blind guy. What did Jesus do to give him his sight back? Spit in his eyes, Adeline, that's right. That's what it says. Spit in his... I tried to think maybe he used a different word. No, he spit in his eyes. Okay, next question. What did he say people looked like after Jesus spit? Maggie? Look like trees. I tell these teenagers, they're learning the book of Mark. And we talk about Scripture. We study it. Why? Because it is important. Study the Scripture. So that's the third way you grab hold of the Bible. Little finger, hear it. Next finger, ring finger, you read it. You study it. And then the next one is you memorize it. Now I got a question for you adults. How much of the scripture do you remember if you memorize it? What percentage? I can't hear you. You hear it all. I mean, if you memorize it, you know it all. Of course, we want kids to memorize scripture. You remember 100% of what you memorize. Isn't that right? Matt's over here. He's got... So one of the things you need to do is memorize scripture. And when you put it into your heart, as a matter of fact, it talks about that in Psalm 119. It says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. Thy word I've treasured in my heart that I may not sin against thee. In other words, when I know it's wrong and I've memorized it, I can choose to do right. Problem is with Americans, we don't know hardly anything. Memorize scripture. And then the last one is your thumb. That was the pointer, the thumb. Do you know your thumb is the only part of your hand that can touch the other four fingers? Do you know that? Meditate on God's Word. What you say, Bill, what are you talking about? You know what meditating is? Oh, I got it. I can illustrate this great. Y'all look up here for just a second. Someone gave Liam a bubble gum machine. Okay? And it had bazooka. How many of you like bazooka bubble gum? When you were younger and it didn't pull your teeth, your fillings out. Okay, so someone gave that to him, and I got a piece of bazooka gum. And how does it start out? Good, doesn't it? And you just chomp and you chomp and you chomp until you get all the juice out. And then what do? You throw it away and get another piece, right? That's meditating. You chomp on the Word, you chomp on the Word, you chomp on it, you think on it, you think on it, you meditate on it, you think on it, till you get it. And see, when you use your thumb, when you hear a sermon and you think about it, you think about it and you pray about it, guess what? And you meditate on it, you do something. Or when you read it and you read it over and over and over again, and then you get it, then you do it. Or you study it and you think about it and you think about it, and then you get it. Or you memorize it, and when you're at a stoplight and you're ready to, well, say nice things to the person who's on their phone not going forward, you think of that verse and you think, God bless you. No. You know what I'm talking about. It can keep you from saying ugly things. Because you meditate on it. And then the last one, I mean, you know, is meditation. It's just, meditation is where you make a plan to live it. Now, don't come to me and tell me the Christian life is boring. If you have the hub right, and you've got God's Word coming into your life and correcting you and teaching you and encouraging you, listen, you're on your way to victory. But I'm here to tell you, if you're missing one of these four spokes that we're going to talk about, your tire doesn't work very well. It's only a matter of time till it collapses. So today, we have the two most important. They're all important. You got to have Jesus in the center of your life. Who's calling the shots? Who's making the decisions about how to live your life? You or Him? And then, who are you listening to? You know, I'll tell this story and then I'm done. I've gone long, but it's a special day. My dad had dementia. And you know, it was a terrible thing to watch him have. And I could always tell what my dad was watching on TV when I walked in the room and he almost verbatim told me the news. Now, I know I'm going to break some of y'all's hearts, but I told my dad, I'd come in, and one day he called me and said, what are we going to do about North Korea? And I said, we're not going to do anything about North Korea. It's in North Korea. We can't do anything. But I'd come in the room, and he'd have the news on. And I tell you what, it tore him up. Because that's what he had inside him. And we would always try to get him to watch sports or some animal show because it changed who he was when he watched bad stuff. Put God's Word in your heart. It changes you for the better. Now next week we'll finish it up. But I want you to know that there's reading plans, and I want you to read your Bible. There's some over here. There's some there. Gregor, there's some in the back. Okay. Please take them. They're free. I challenge you, read your New Testament 5 out of 7 days and record what God wants you to know. Okay? Sorry I ran over. I normally don't do this. But we had 4 people, so that's good. All right, I'm going to ask you to stand. Let me remind you of a couple things. If you're a guest, we're so glad. Y'all go ahead and stand, stretch. I really want all of you to go to the commons area and congratulate these people who've made decisions public. We'll be over here. There's lemonade. There's cake. We're so proud of them. If you would like to talk to me about joining the church or you have questions about anything, I'll be over there as well by the wheel. Just look for the wheel. But more than anything else, leading up to Easter, I want you to get Easter. It's the X factor. If you don't get Easter, the rest of the Bible ain't going to do you much good. And so join us for that. Anything else I'm forgetting, Greg? Come on back next week. We'd love to have you again. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for everybody in this room. Lord, I thank you that we can fail and you pick us up. And I thank you for your word that gives us instruction. And I ask that you bless this time of fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.